very quick note about the relationship that the inhabitants of Barzakh would have with us, would have with this world, inhabitants of Barzakh and our world. Do they see us? Are they aware? Are they aware of what we are doing? Or they are not? This is a very, very complicated issue, of course, and only we can get some hints from some traditions, not even the verses of the Quran, because the verses of the Quran tells us that they want to come and inform us, but there is no way. They cannot come, they cannot see. But it does not deny completely that there may be some sort of awareness. So, do the souls in Barzakh see and hear us in this world? Now, this is one level of course, understanding. And the second level is, are they aware of us? Because to be aware of something is different from seeing and hearing. For example, you may be aware of something happening somewhere at the moment now, but you cannot see it or hear it. Or are they informed about us? Not being aware, but somehow informed. So this is what we are going to explore first, and then inshallah we'll go to have some description of the type of the creation of angels. Now, the basic principle is, as we are ordinarily unaware of their world, they are ordinarily unaware of our world. So there is this barzakh, this barrier, is very thick, very strong. Neither we are aware of them, nor they are aware of us, unless in exceptional cases. Now, you know that in exceptional cases, we can be aware of what is happening in that world. Some people are, like prophets, like A'imma alayhi salam, they are aware. Sometimes they speak with souls. It has happened. They have been able to speak with souls. Some of high-stationed scholars and ulama rabbaniyun have been able to speak with some souls. So their exceptional communication is possible. From that side to this side as well, if they want to speak to us, it's even more difficult than when we want to speak to them. As human race, I mean, not us individually. Because we know that some people, like prophets, they have been able to speak to some souls. We have lots of traditions in this regard. But souls wanting to speak to us, that is almost impossible. So this door is closed from that side. However, as I said, seeing, hearing, being aware, exceptionally, is possible for them. Now, let's look at the exceptions. The exceptions are, for the close ones, there is no veil. They can see us, they can hear us, whatever we say. When we go to ziyarah, for example, of one of the close ones, whoever they are, the prophets, a'imma alayhi salam, or even some other ordinary people who are among the close ones, they can hear us. Ashhadu annaka tasma'u kalami wa taruddu salami. You hear my voice, you respond to my salam. This is what we usually say when we go to ziyarah. So, for them there is no veil. However, they cannot communicate. This door of communication is closed. Unless coming to dreams and something like that. And of course, dreams, you know, dreams have no value. Dreams have no value whatsoever. Even if you see the Prophet coming and telling you something, there is no value for that. There was a lady in Mashhad several years ago. One of my friends was telling me this, that suddenly she started to wear niqab. And she was a young lady, about 25, 30 years old. And my friend told her, why did you suddenly decide to do this? And she said, because I dreamt Lady Fatima in dream, and she ordered me that I have to do this. And so I'm wearing this. And my friend told her that, are you really going to do this until the end of your life? She said, yes, this is wajib on me now, because I've seen this in dream. Lady Fatima had directly ordered me to do that. And he said, I advise you not to do it, because this is not fiqh, this is dream. You cannot base your actions on dream. And she insisted, but after several years, not only she took her niqab, she took her hijab. See, because this is not based on knowledge, it's based on something which is, it may be imagination. And dreams, you have to be very, very careful about dreams. Dreams do not mean what you see. They need to be interpreted. They may mean something absolutely different, opposite of what you see. For example, you see Prophet coming and telling you something, for example, if that happens. And that may actually mean absolutely something different from what you have seen. So it's very important, dreams should be interpreted. And this sort of communication, even in dream, if the close ones want to come to us in dreams and tell us something, it's not valid. So from that side, the communication is closed. Although they see us, they hear us, but they cannot communicate. And for us, sometimes, when I say us, I mean human race. Sometimes it is possible to communicate with the source, even in wakefulness, which has happened for many people. Now, other souls, apart from the close ones, other souls will have awareness according to their ranks. The more evil, the more aware. The more good, the more aware. Now, the middle range ones, somehow unaware. But the more evil, the more aware. The more good ones, the more aware. Just like the more awareness of life for the more good ones and the more evil ones. Purely evil ones have more awareness of life. Purely good ones have more awareness of life. And also awareness of this world will take place in the same way. Now, this awareness happens when they are given permission. And this is a systematic sort of permission. It's not just one-off permission or something like that. It's a systematic sort of permission that they are given at times to see us or hear us. When they are visited, when you go to their graves and visit them, the awareness comes for them. Now, this awareness may be in form of seeing and hearing. It may be a feeling. It may be something else. We don't know. But they will become aware of us when we go and visit them, visit their tombs. Of course, they may be somewhere else, but they become aware that we are there, and they see, in a sense, they feel that we are there. And when an act of charity is performed for them, again, when you perform an act of charity for one of your deceased ones, they suddenly become aware of it, that you are doing something for them. It's just like, for example, switching on something in their mind that, oh, for example, my granddaughter, my grandson is doing something for me, and they see what you are doing for them, and they become happy. So these are the three occasions during which that awareness may take place. Now, we have traditions with regards to all these three forms, three types of awareness. Now, the following tradition testify to the first occasion. Following traditions testify to the first occasion. An Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, this is reported by Kulayni in Al-Kafi. He said that إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيَزُورُ أَهْلَهُ فَيَرَى مَا يُحِبْ وَيُسْتَرُ عَنْهُ مَا يَكْرَحْ. The believer visits his family and would see what delights him and is veiled from what he dislikes. If they are allowed to come and visit you, their family, if there is trouble, they cannot see it. If you are doing a ma'asiyah or something, they cannot see it because this troubles them. They only see things which delights them. This is, of course, the mercy of Allah on them. They only see things which delights them. On the opposite are the kuffar. They come and visit. The more evil ones, the more frequent they come. And they only see things which hurts them. This is because their inner nature attracts evil. And therefore, the evil things they see. For mu'minun, their inner nature attracts only good. The good things they see. The bad things they don't see. And it's the opposite for kuffar. So, the disbeliever visits his family and would see what he dislikes and is veiled from what delights him. This is not a sort of arbitrary punishment coming upon them. As I said, this is their nature. Evil attracts evil. Good attracts good. Some visit, now this is what Imam alayhi salam said, some visit every week. Sorry, that should be week. Not this type of week. Yeah, week. That's right. Some visit every week and others according to their acts. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَزُورُ كُلَّ جُمْعَةٍ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَزُورُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عَمَلِهِ كُلَّ جُمْعَةٍ doesn't mean every Jum'ah. Jum'ah means week. In the language of traditions, every Jum'ah means every week. So, according to their acts, so the more evil ones visit more frequently, the more good ones visit more frequently as well. Also, another hadith, Ishaq ibn Ammar reports from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, that سَأَلْتُهُ عَنِ الْمَيِّتِ يَزُورُ أَحْلَهُ. I asked, would the deceased visit his family? He said, yes. And I asked, how frequently would he visit? Now, when we say how frequently would he visit, it means that ordinarily, naturally, they cannot see, they cannot hear. They have to be granted permission for that. So, he replied, every week, or every month, or every year, according to his station. So, some cannot be aware of anything for a year. And then, after a year, they may be given permission. Some may, for 10 years, they may not be aware of anything. And then they may be given permission to see what is happening here. And the other tradition, again, it may be another version of the same tradition, or it may be another explanation, because the same reporter reports from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the same question, and he says that I asked him if the deceased visit his family. He said, yes. I asked how frequently. He replied, according to their merits. There are some who visit every day, and some who visit every 2 days, and some who visit every 3 days. And, well, this does not contradict with the previous tradition, which says every week or every month or every year. Again, these are different stations of the people. So, what we understand is naturally they are not seeing us, as naturally we are not seeing them. So, there is a total oblivion on both sides, except on exceptional cases. Now, this relation sometimes gets so strong that the souls find permission to establish contact with the living ones in dreams, only in dreams. Again, what they tell you, don't take it at face value. Dreams need to be interpreted. That is very, very important. Now, the following traditions testify to the second occasion. That is when you visit them and they, of course, become aware of you. When you do not visit them, they may get permission to come and become aware of you. But when you visit them, they certainly become aware of you. Now, there's one other tradition, I have not mentioned it here, and the Imam alayhi salam says, if you want certainly that your deceased would see you clearly when you go to visit them, go on the day of Jummah between Fajr and sunrise. That is the time when certainly your deceased would see you. Other times they may become aware of you, but they may not see you. In that time they will see you. Well, this is a hadith. And hadith has its own value and merit. It is good to try it. Of course, they cannot tell you, but it may work. So, from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, the hadith says, again, this is in Al-Kafi, زُورُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَفْرَحُونَ بِزِيَارَتِكُمْ. Visit your deceased ones, for they rejoice from your visit. Of course, this is absolutely opposite the Wahhabi and Salafi approach towards Ziyaratul Qubur, because they regard it as useless. But here our traditions say that it's very useful, both for us and for the deceased ones. They become happy, and we, of course, get thawab, and we get lessons and all these things. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, this is in Wasail al-Shia of Shaykh Hur, وَاللَّهِ لَيَعْلَمُونَ بِكُمْ. I swear by God, they know of you. When you go there, they know of you. Why he says وَاللَّهِ? Because some people deny this. So he says, I swear by God, they know of you and rejoice seeing you and feel close to you. يَسْتَأْنِسُونَ بِكُمْ. They feel uns and closeness to you. They don't like you to leave. And of course you recite Fatiha for them and these things, but they want you to stay more and more, so to speak. Now, the following traditions testify to the third occasion. When we do a charity for them, they become aware of that. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيَفْرَحُ بِالتَّرَحُ هم عليه والاستغفار له كما يفرح الحي بالهديه تهدى اليه. This is again in Wasail al-Shia. Imam Sadiq said the deceased would rejoice when you ask mercy and forgiveness for them in the same way as the living ones rejoice from receiving a gift from you. Every istighfar you do for your mayyit, every surah of Quran you recite for them, a charity you give to the poor, it makes them, it's just like a gift you give them. And we did not get time to talk about diseases in Barzakh, because those spiritual bodies also have diseases, and sometimes those diseases need your cure, and that's recitation of the Quran and other things, which they will become very happy if they receive the medicine for their disease. And also the same hadith says, حَتَّى إِنَّهُ يَكُونُ فِي ضَيْقٍ فَيُوَسِّعُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الضَّيْقِ. It helps so much that to the extent that if they are in strife, if they are under pressure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove that strife from them. So, as a principle, they are not aware of us. On certain occasions, they get the permission to see us. Now, whether that's seeing like we see things or it's awareness, we don't know. When we go and visit them, they become aware of that. And also, when we do an act of charity for them, they become aware of us and aware of that act of charity. And it's just like a gift given to them. Otherwise, apart from this, there is a barrier between us and them. And as we do not see them, they do not see us. Okay. Now let's go to the world of angels, that the very, very beautiful world, which of course we know little about. But when the angels look at us, human race, our number compared to their number is just like a small family compared to the whole population of the world. So huge in number. And in types are angels that we cannot imagine at all. And therefore, so long as we live until the end of our lives, well, there is no end for our lives when we go to the next world, inshallah. Even in paradise, we will come across angels that would add to our amazement their nature, their creation, their structure, their faces would only increase our praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a few concepts about angels. We don't know much about their worlds, but a few concepts that we can just build a sort of understanding of them based on them. Now, by entering Barzakh, we enter into the world of the angels. So, let us get prepared. We know these creatures better. Know what makes them happy. What makes them angry. They become angry sometimes, of course, because they are intelligent beings. And we have to avoid that. Now, although we may not see the archangels when we go to Barzakh, but we will see many of them, the angels. Sorry for the clumsy sentence. We will see many of the angels, but not archangels. Do not just aspire that as soon as you go to Barzakh, you see a Jibreel alayhi salam or Israfil alayhi salam. No, even many angels cannot see them. They are, of course, the Hamalatul Arsh. They are the ones who carry the Arsh. They are the kings in the realm of the angels. So not, of course, even many angels can see them. But when we go there, we are actually somehow taken care of by many of these angels. So we would come in close contact with them. What type of creatures are the angels? The angels are extremely intelligent, extremely sensitive creatures. When I say sensitive, we may try it, of course. You may say something in their presence about God, just the same way we speak about God. And you would see how sensitive they are when you speak about God. Because their whole nature is created on love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are very sensitive in that regard as well. Do they have bodies? Apparently they do. But what sort of body, we don't know. Bodies that with our spiritual eyes we can see. But with our spiritual eyes, we can see those bodies. Those bodies are not made of matter, made of something else. But the spiritual eye, the barzakhi eye, the misali body, can see them, as the Prophet saw them when he went for Mi'raj. Not the same way that he saw Jibreel in this world in form of a man, because they appeared to him in form. Jibreel appeared to him in form of a man. But no, he saw them in Mi'raj in their original form. And in the original structure of creation. Now, let's see what Sheikh Mufid says about angels. You may be surprised of what he says, because this is usually contrary to what we believe about the angels. We think that they are only mechanical sort of instruments that work for the good of the creation. But according to Shaykh Mufid, and if you read Nahjul Balagha, and if you read the Quran, you will see that they are accountable creatures. They are held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have free choice. They have intelligence. They ask questions. They dispute over things. Not, of course, out of arrogance, but to understand. Now, when Allah told angels, this is of course very obvious, that usjudu li Adam, He told them you have to prostrate for Adam. They didn't know why, so they asked. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When He said, I'm going to put a vicegerent on earth, they said, how come? How come a Bashar, not one of us? How a Bashar who does mischief and sheds blood would be your vicegerent and not one of us? Of course, when they said not one of us, not out of arrogance. Just they didn't know why. So they are puzzled. And especially some of us human beings, when we go to the next world, I'm sure we will puzzle Nakir and Munkar by the way we answer them. Because some of us are very mischievous, you see. The way diplomatically we answer them, we confuse them, and they don't know what to do. Anyhow, Sheikh Mufid, in his most important theological book, Awa'il al-Maqalat fil Madahib wal-Mukhtarat, this is the name of his book. One of the topics he discusses is Al-Qawl fi Takleef al-Malaika, the view on accountability of the angels. Now, when we talk about accountability, we assume certain things. We assume intelligence, we assume free choice, and all these things, because these are the things which make accountability meaningful. So, he says that, I believe that, I don't read the Arabic, I believe that the angels are accountable and are promised reward and punishment. وَالْمُوَعَدُونَ وَالْمُتَوَعَدُونَ, just like us. And that's why Amirul Mu'mineen in Nahjul Balagha mentions that they tremble when they think of the day of resurrection. The angels, they tremble when they think of the day of resurrection. Although they do not have any sin. And in Sahih As-Sajjadiyya, we have that he praises the angels and makes dua for them, and he says, and those angels, إِذَا نَظَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ, or some, they look at the blaze of the hell, they tremble and they say, قَالُوا مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ, we also deserve it, because we have not worshipped you the way you deserved to be worshipped. So this is their attitude. However, he says that although they are accountable, and the reason for it is the verse in the Quran that says, should any of them say, I am a god beside him, which is possible for an angel to say that, if, of course, they become ignorant as human beings, we will requite him with hell. Thus do we requite the wrongdoers. And I believe, Sheikh Mufid says, and I believe they are infallible regarding acts which bring them punishment of fire. So there are some creatures like prophets, although they have intelligence, although they have free choice, but they are ma'sumun, they are infallibles. Now, why in human race we have so many sinners, so little of ma'sumun, infallibles, and in the angels' race, so to speak, we have no sinners? Unless if we say Iblis was an angel, according to Sheikh Tusi, he was a sinner. Or we believe in the traditions about Futrus and others, they were sinners. However, their number wouldn't come to 10 or 5 or something like that. Wouldn't come to two figures, actually. But in human race, you see this abundantly. Why? Because they do not have desires as we have. So, in a sense, an angel which is infallible, compared to human being who is infallible, which one is higher? Human being. Because human being has desire and is infallible, like prophets and Imam Ali Musallam. But angels do not have desires and they are infallible. So if we become infallibles, we go beyond the level of angels, and our knowledge would go beyond them, our experience of God would go beyond them, as was the case with our prophets. But don't think that the sinners among us are better than angels. Certainly they are not. And that don't think that Allah told to angels to prostrate to us. I mean, say, for example, me. No, that was not the case. It was to those infallible human beings who had the desires and they did not. Of course, they controlled themselves. So, and I believe they are infallible regarding acts which bring them punishment of fire. On this belief are the majority of the Imamiyya scholars. As I said, this seems contrary to what we already believe, but Sheikh Mufid says, majority of Imami scholars, majority of Shia scholars have this view. وَعَلَى هَذَا الْقَوْلِ جُمْهُورُ الْإِمَامِيَّةِ وَسَائِرُ الْمُؤْتَزِلَ. And all the Mu'tazila also believe in this. I haven't just put the translation down. وَأَكْثَرُ الْمُرْجَعَ وَجَمَاعَةُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْحَدِيثِ. The majority of Murja'a, who are another theological sect, and some of the Ahlul Hadith, those who follow Hadith literally, and a group of Imamiyya have denied that the angels are accountable, and they think that they are muzatarun. They do things on compulsion. Some, the minority, a minority. Now, this has become the common view, of course. But a minority of Imamiyya, they think that innahum ilal a'mal muzatarun, and some of Ahlul Hadith have agreed with that. This does not go with many of our traditions and of ayat of the Quran as well. And of course, Shaykh al-Mufid is enough for us. If he believes in something, we at least should have very, very strong ground to oppose him, because he was the very top theologian in the Shi'i scholarly circles. Now, the population of angels exceeds all other creatures. And we have in hadith that no creature Allah has created more than the angels. مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ أَكْثَرَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. As I said. Also, their ranks and categories are more than all other creatures. The ranks that, say for example, those that we call animals in this world, including human beings. So we have many different types, many different ranks. Now, among the angels, this is even more. And in a very broad classification, now, if you want to classify the angels, of course, it's very difficult, because each single angel is a unique type, because they do not reproduce. They are created individually by God. And how they are created? Absolutely no knowledge. Absolutely no knowledge. Just imagine Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyday angels are created and coming out of it. Every day and every hour and every minute the angels are created. It's not that Allah has created them and the creation is finished. No. The creation is continued. Just like us human beings. But we come to creation by reproduction. They come to creation by something that we do not know at all. How it is, how it works. So, if you want to classify them in a very broad classification, they are divided into the angels of Malakut and the angels of Jabarut. Jabarut is a higher world than Malakut. When we go to Barzakh, we don't go to Jabarut. We go to Malakut. Jabarut is a higher world. Now, the angels, the latter, are also called the higher council, Al-Mala'ul A'la. Now, in the Quran, we have a reference to this Mala'ul A'la. مَا كَانَ لِي مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَعِ الْأَعْلَىٰ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. In Surah Sa'd, I have no knowledge of the higher council. When they were disputing. Now, this higher council of angels, still they disputed among themselves about the creation of Adam. Why Allah has done so? What is the reason behind it? Until Allah clarified for them. Now you may ask, in this world of intelligent beings with differences of understanding and difference of tastes and difference in many, many different aspects, how order is maintained? How these angels do not somehow transgress against each other. Now, in a world where every single creature is ma'asum, you will have absolute peace. And of course, absolute order here. This is a very, very orderly world. Every angel knows their chain of command. They know their line manager, so to speak. Who they should take command from. And of course, the chain of command goes up to four angels, four archangels, Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil and Israel. And they do not, of course, somehow intervene in each other's area. So, these, of course, Malo Olala are much more than these four angels, many, many higher angels. And of course, the things which are decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are known to this Malo Olala, but not by other angels. So, we'll see, for example, we see an angel that when Prophet went to Mi'raj, and Jibreel told him that this is Muhammad, peace be on him, and the angel asked, has Muhammad been appointed? When? I didn't know that. So, not every knowledge, of course, is given to every angel. The most knowledgeable of angels are those four archangels, of course. The angels of the higher council cannot be compared with other angels in terms of their wisdom, their power, their knowledge, and their inherent beauty. Now, the angels are created on beauty because they show the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since there is no evil in them, they are very beautiful. Although in their world, of course, the beauties differ. We will come to one very ugly angel, of course. We'll talk about him soon. What they know of God is not comprehensible for the angels of Malakut. Not at all. What the angels of Malawala of Jabarut know of God, not. And that's why in Surah Sabah we have when the revelation is being given to Jibreel or to Israfil that things should be done, when the command comes from Allah, a sort of awe and reverence fills the whole Samawat, which is the place of residence of angels, and everyone keeps quiet. Everyone feels horror in themselves that what is going to be decreed. And then in Surah Sabah we have Hatta Ida Fuzza an Qulubihim, until when this fear is taken from their hearts, Qalu Mada Qala Rabbukum, they ask each other, what is the decree? What is going to happen? What did Allah command? قَالُوا الْحَقِّ, they say that Allah, of course, said nothing but haq. That means they explained for them. And of course, they are aware of what they have to do. They are not aware of what other angels have to do. And that's why they may sometimes come to conflict with each other, because they are not aware that other throngs of angels are coming to do certain things. And this is the meaning, some exegetes say, this is the meaning of وَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى, those who overtake other angels in their assignment, in what they are given to do, because Allah has actually decreed that this should be so. So every throng of angels who does their job quicker, before the others, that is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this should happen. For example, if the angel of death comes to us, and the angels who are protecting us, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, every single individual has angels protecting them from angels of death. Because this is their job, they have to come and take souls. But there are angels who are protecting us, driving them away. This is not the time. Go. So, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, until when Allah decrees that death should come, these angels then cannot do anything. The angels of death overtake them. So, it's a very orderly world. Chain of command is very clear. Angels know when they have to do what. And, of course, the knowledge of these angels of Malakut, which, of course, we will see, inshallah, when we go to Barzakh, is not comparable to the knowledge of the high angels. What we usually see after death are the Malakuti type of angels, that's obvious. There is no reproduction among the angels, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says, alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, that la yaskunun al-aslab, wa la yudhammanun al-arham. They never reside in loins. They are never contained in wombs. So they are created by Allah, just like Adam alayhi salam was created by Allah. Every single angel is created by Allah. Every angel is created on his own. Every day God creates new throngs of angels. And that's why it is impossible to even imagine the number which may allude to the population of the angels. The angels do not eat or drink. They live on the breeze of the throne. Now, this is a metaphor, of course. What does it mean? We don't know. The breeze of the throne. Naseem al-Arsh. They thrive on that. That means they live on something coming from Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that is stopped, they die. That is their food. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ They praise day and night, and they do not become tired of that. They have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual intelligence, so they can see, they can hear. Of course, maybe not everything, things which are related to them. Their ranks are determined by their jobs. So any angel having a higher job would have a higher rank. والصافات صفا فالزاجرات زجرا فالتاليات ذكرا إن إلهكم لواحد. Now we have this Safat by the angels ranged in lines, by the ones who drive vigorously, by the ones who recite the reminder. Now these are the angels which help Jibreel to bring revelation. Those who make lines for this angel of revelation coming down, not allowing anyone hear what is the content of the revelation, and the angels who drive away and lash those shayateen who want to come and hear, and then by those who come and recite their revelation. So these are three different throngs of angels who work together to make revelation possible from Arsh to the heart of a human being. Usually the angels who do the same job look similar in their appearance and beauty, and you think that they are relatives because they do the same job, they have the same beauty, they have the same sort of face. Some of the angels cannot be described in terms of their greatness and beauty. Now, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when in Nahj al-Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen has many different descriptions of angels, very beautiful. This is not, of course, in Nahj al-Balagha. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَوْ كَلَّفَتِ الْجِنُّ وَالْإِنسَ أَنْ يَصِفُوهُ مَا وَصَفُوهُ لِبُعْدِ مَا بَيْنَ مَفَاصِلِهِ وَحُسْنِ تَرْكِيبِ سُورَتِهِ If the whole man and jinn try their utmost to describe some of the angels, they cannot do that for the distance between their joints. That means they are huge, huge creatures. And the beauty of the combination of their face. And that's why in Mi'raj, Prophet said, I came across angels, خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ شَاءَ I cannot describe them. Although Prophet was very eloquent in describing things, he said, I came across an angel, I cannot describe it. It's impossible to describe the beauty of them. The angels usually live in throngs, the number of which differ from a few hundred to hundreds of thousands. Members of each throng pray together and praise God in harmony. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُونَ وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْمُصَبِّحُونَ We stand in lines and we praise Allah. These are the throngs of angels. And they do this in certain times. Some of them continuously do. Some of these angels are jobless. They are redundant, so to speak. They have no job. Their only job is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of them, of course, have jobs, and when they are doing their jobs, at certain times they stop for the praise of the Lord. The description the Prophet gives of some of the angels he saw in his Mi'raj is fascinating. Of course, I have brought a few examples here. Examples of these angels. Ismail, the angel who prevents the jinn from eavesdropping. He says, we ascend to the to sama' ad-dunya, before entering the first sky, there was an angel under whose command were 70,000 angels. And under each of these 70,000, there were 70,000 other angels. Now, this is about 5 billion angels, isn't it? And they were just doing the job of preventing Jinn to eavesdrop about what is being ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as of course we have in tradition, that in the Quran, that they say we used to eavesdrop. وَإِنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. But now if any one of us do that, a shahab will come. And these are actually the angels who are in charge of that. Now, the Prophet says, when we went there, Ismail, I said salam to Ismail, and he replied to me, and he was very busy, and Jibreel said, don't you come and greet Muhammad, peace be on him. This is the last messenger, and this is the angel who was unaware actually. He said, oh, has he been appointed? And he came, he greeted me, I did istighfar for him. And this is very strange, to do istighfar for an angel. The Prophet said, I did istighfar for him, and he did istighfar for me. And he prayed for my ummah, and I prayed for him and for his angels under his command. And then he says, we then ascended, we went to the first heaven, and every angel I visited, they came, they greeted me, they smiled, they were very, very happy seeing me. It was just an occasion for them. Unless one angel, I saw he was sitting, not laughing, and very huge. I never had seen any creature as huge as that angel. And the face was very terrifying. And I said salam to him. He replied. He said, salamun alaik. And then I asked Jibreel, who is this angel so ugly and very angry? He said, yes, this is Malik, the commander of hell. No one of us have ever seen him smile. And that's why he did not smile at you as well. And actually every angel is afraid of him. And that's why we do not somehow, this of course my word, not Jibreel's word, we do not meddle with his job and we do not go close to him very much. Then the Prophet said, I saw an angel. He was very, very strange. A part of his body was made of ice and a part of his body was made of fire. Neither the fire made the ice to melt and neither the ice quenched the fire. And this angel was praying to Allah, saying that, O Allah, who has made this fire to coexist with this ice, bring peace between the heart of human beings. And he was constantly praying that. And actually in other traditions we have that these angels have filled the heavens, the skies, praying for human beings to bring peace to their hearts. And this shows the angels, because Allah ordered them to prostrate for Adam, they are very much concerned about human faith. Human fate, so to speak. They are very much concerned about it. And in the Quran also we have, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنَّ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The angels are constantly doing istighfar for inhabitants of the earth. The twin angels, he said, then I saw two angels. I'm just going to finish in a couple of minutes. Then I saw two angels. They were praying together. One of them was praying that, and these angels were twins actually. They were somehow bound together. One of them was saying, Allahumma a'ti kulla munfiqin khalaf. Oh God, give every person who gives charity, who does infaq, replacement. And the other one was saying, Allahumma a'ti kulla mumsakin talaf. Give everyone who stops to give charity, who's mubsik, that their property should be wasted. Give them waste of property. And these were continuously doing this. And you know, these angels, when they pray, because they are good-hearted, their prayer is heard. And the whole idea is that Allah has created the world in this way, that these things should happen. And then, indescribable angels. He says, then I came across some angels. I cannot describe them. Their face is, of course, something that human concept and human mind cannot describe. And they were very huge, and they were praising Allah with every limbs and part of their body. Just imagine if they had hands and fingers, and every part was praising with a different voice. And they were so fearful. They were not looking down, they were not looking up. Just having their faces directed to some place, they were praising, and they were not aware, and they were great in number, they were not aware who was in their company. They were not aware of each other because of that fear of God. And when I went, they were not aware of me. And Jibreel told them, come and greet the last messenger of Allah. And then they came. They never had stopped doing that praise, but for the respect of the Prophet, they stopped it. They came, they greeted the Prophet, and then they went back. These are just like those angels which are described in Hadith, wal malaikatul muhayyamun, the angels who are absolutely absorbed to God. They don't know what's happened. They don't know that the world is created, some of these angels. They even don't know that the world is created, because they are so absorbed in love of Allah and in the praise of Allah. So, this is the world of angels. Inshallah, next week, we will start the prelude to the third life, so to speak. But, of course, we have to stop it there. And inshallah, maybe one other course is needed.